Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today, I want to give you something from the Scripture to show you how to rest. Rest is essential. But often, what I find is that Christians are restless. So today, what we'd like to do is we'd like to give you some biblical and yet practical ways to rest. And the first place we want to look is in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, look what the Bible says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now listen carefully to what the Lord said in these verses. He said, if you will come out of your yoke, okay, and only take the Lord's yoke, you will find rest for your soul. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How's he going to do that? By taking your yoke off and letting you just have nothing to do? No. Is he going to do that by taking your yoke off and then giving you your yoke and another yoke by piling on more? No. What's he going to do? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. You know how he said for you to find rest? He said, take my yoke upon you. He said, well, wait a minute. How in the world can I do that? I am already labored. I am already heavy laden. How is taking the Lord's yoke upon me going to reduce my labor or my heavy laden self and allow me to rest? Well, I'll show you how it is. You come out of your yoke and you take the Lord's yoke. That's how you do it. He says, when you come to me, and you're laboring, you come unto me, and you're heavy laden. I give you rest by taking that burden off of you, and I put my yoke on you. And he says, my yoke is better than yours because my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, you got to learn, see? You got to learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Now, what is it about the meekness and lowliness in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ that we should learn? We should learn this. Jesus Christ didn't come here with his own agenda. Jesus Christ didn't come here to do his will. Jesus Christ didn't load up his day with all the things he wanted to do and then try to figure out late in the day or in the evening how he could then accomplish what his Father wanted him to accomplish. He never would have made it. But he said, I'm meek and lowly in heart, meaning I'm not going to make my own decisions about how I should occupy my time. I'm going to find out what it is my Father wants me to do, and I'm going to do those things. So he says, when you're laboring, when you're heavy laden, you find rest by simply taking the yoke of the Lord upon you, and then in meekness and lowliness doing what he wants you to do rather than what you want to do, and you'll find rest for your soul. Why? Because he said, my yoke is not hard. My yoke is not heavy. In my yoke, you don't labor to the point of heavy laden. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he said. Now listen, the reason so many Christians are restless is that they are trying to do all that they want to do, and then they're trying to do, in addition to that, all that they need to do, and then in addition to that, all that they think the Lord wants them to do, and they're trying to do all that at the same time. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't do that. That is too much. It's too much. So what do you need to do? Be like Jesus and strive to always do those things that please him. When he was here in the earth, he said, I do always those things that please him, speaking of his Father. If we strove to always do those things that please him, then you know what? We wouldn't be so burdened down with all those things that we do that don't please him. I mean, Jesus Christ promised that if you would come unto him and take his yoke, he would give you rest. Now, I have found that to be true in my own life. I am a task-oriented individual. I'm the kind of person who would make a list, carry it around in my pocket, and be stressed and burdened about getting everything on that list knocked out. And then also trying to do all that was, you know, needful in the ministry. Now, you know something? I still have all those responsibilities, but there are many things that I used to think that I had to get done that I don't do. I either delegate them to somebody else, or they don't get done because they really weren't that important, or I knock them out at a time when the Lord wants me to do them, when the Lord's grace strengthens me to do those things, and take care of his business first. And it's an amazing thing. Now, the Lord's yoke includes time in the Bible, time in prayer, you know, letting him organize the schedule and day so that he can make sure that you're in places where you can accomplish things for him that he wants you to do. For instance, there are times when we have to go to the hardware store and buy things and fix things at home that need to be fixed or maintained. And you may decide, I want to do that first and knock all this out, and then what I'll do is I'll see if I can get to the Lord's business. And the Lord may rearrange your schedule and have you get to his business. Why? So that you arrive at the hardware store at particularly a time when the person who is there to help you and assist you with your purchase is also a person who needs to hear from the Lord, and you can give them a tract or a word of encouragement or quote a verse of scripture or be there to listen to a burden that they have. It's an amazing thing. One day I was working on some things that needed to be done, and I ended up at a restaurant, you know, nearly 2 o'clock in the afternoon before I stopped to get some lunch. And that was at precisely a time when a waitress that was there, who was helping us at the table, needed encouragement and needed a good Christian fellowship. We were able to encourage her with some words from the scripture. And I'll tell you what, the timing was right. He said, well, that's interesting. Yeah, I know, but we didn't decide that we needed to break right at noon. We were taking a yoke, okay, and trying as best as you and I know how to follow the Lord's will in our time and schedule for the day. But boy, we ended up at the right place at the right time as far as that opportunity was concerned. So you rest by taking the Lord's yoke. You're meek, you're lowly in heart. You do his will, and as you're doing his will, he allows you to accomplish those things in your life that need to be done, and you cut out those things in your life that don't need to be done. You delegate some other things that somebody else can do, and you are. Let me tell you something. You are rested. You are not laden down. You are not heavy laden, and you are not laboring to the point of exhaustion. Okay? So that's one way to rest. Here's another way. Turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. How do you rest? Mark chapter 6, verse 31, you rest by taking some time off. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31, the Lord said to his disciples, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. The Lord said, stop. Let's go to a deserted place. Let's go where we don't have anybody that's going to bother us with their needs for healing or their needs for teaching or the things that I need to preach to them. Let's go to a desert place, a deserted place. Let's go to a place where we can come apart. And as one preacher said, so we can come apart before we come apart. Two expressions used in the same expression used in two different ways in that sentence, come apart. Before you come apart. Listen, you need to take some time off. You really do. You need to stop so you can rest. You say, well, how am I going to do that? Well, I say take some time each week to stop and rest. Now, in the Old Testament, Jews rested on the Sabbath day. You find even in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 23, right after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, but before his resurrection, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 56, that the folks who saw where Jesus was buried returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Okay? So you ought to rest. You say, well, how am I going to do that? Listen, you ought to rest on Sunday. We don't keep the Sabbath in the New Testament. So you ought to rest on Sunday. You say, how am I going to do that? Get up in the morning and have a nice breakfast with your family. Get dressed and go to church. Go to Sunday school. Go to church. And then have a nice lunch. Enjoy some time in fellowship with your family. Even come back for the evening service at church. And then go home and have a little devotion with your family or a little time together. Get some sleep. And get up the next morning. Go back to work. And you know what you're going to find? You're rested. Don't do chores. Don't do housework. Don't stress yourself out with those kinds of things. Say, well, yeah, but I need that. No, you know what? You need the rest. You need to come apart. We've got friends of ours, for instance, our song leader here. He's got work during the daytime, and there's a lot to do. He's very busy during the daytime. Gets off at 6 o'clock, you know, drives straight to church, changes clothes, gets the song service ready, and then leads singing, and then sits, listens to the preaching, and prays with the other folks here in the church for our Wednesday night prayer meeting. And he'll tell me time and time again, he said, you know, when I got here after work today, I was dog-dragging tired. All I wanted to do was get a bite to eat and go straight to bed. I was so tired. He said, but like I have seen so many times before, when I come in here that tired, and sit down and do some singing, sit down and then listen to the preaching of the Word of God and pray with, you know, with our brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, it's an amazing thing. We finish that service, I am refreshed. That's amazing. Well, you know what that tells me? That tells me on Sunday when you like to do all your, you know, your yard work and then watch the football game or the baseball game or whatever you do and all those other things that you think you need to get done on that day, if you would stop that and rather go with your family to church and let the Word of God minister to you, you will get a rest in your soul you cannot get by doing your chores and housework or going off, you know, say, hey, it's Sunday, let's go fishing. That's my day off, man. That's when I go fishing. And you spend all that day out there fishing instead of in the Lord's house getting refreshed in your soul. I'm going to tell you what, there is a major difference between those two. I've seen it. I've seen it in the lives of others. Now, there are sometimes that it is not possible to rest in the work that God has given us to do. Paul even talked about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And in verse 5, he said this. He said, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. He said, man, we were just loaded up. But then Titus came. Titus came and brought them comfort. He said, not only, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. What's he saying? Man, we got that rest, but temporarily we were really loaded up. And sometimes that happens. And on, you know what you need to do on occasions like that? Be sure to take some time when the pressure lets up, to be comforted by the Spirit of God, to be comforted in the fellowship of the believers, you know, to just get some rest. So, practically speaking, you rest by taking the Lord's yoke. That is, you remove your yoke and you take the Lord's yoke and you do His will rather than yours. Rest by taking time off. And Sunday is a great day for doing that. Just kick back, get some good fellowship in church, some good teaching, some good preaching, and watch what it does to your soul. And then here's the third thing. Rest by being dead. You say, well, that is weird. Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we find that the old man, our old man, is crucified with Christ. He said, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And when a man dies, we say he passed away. Our old man is crucified with Jesus Christ in Romans 6:6. Our body is dead with him. And the body that's dead is freed from sin, Romans 6:7. Romans 6:8, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Okay? Now watch. Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You rest by being dead. You say, how do you know that? Because we say of dead men, may he, watch it, rest in peace. When a person is dead, the gravestone, the marker, says, rest in peace. He's at rest. He's finished. His labors are done. He's not even moving. So when you look at our position in Christ, we are crucified with Christ. We are dead in Christ. And if you will reckon the old man dead, you know what you'll do? You'll quit running errands for your corpse. And you will be amazed how rested you're going to feel. You say, why is that? Because you won't be wasting so much energy. And you won't be messing around with so much sin. You see, the old man is where all this sin is taking place. Paul said, when he sinned, and explains, therefore, that when we sin, the sin is taking place in our flesh. When you got saved, your spirit and your soul were circumcised away from the body of your flesh, so that sin that is committed in your flesh is not imputed to your spirit and your soul, which is a good thing. Nevertheless, the body that we were in, this is where all the sin is. Sin is working in our flesh and wants to, you know, it wants to rule over us. That's what it's trying to do. And Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, don't let it reign in your body. How do you do that? You mortify the deeds of the flesh. You yield your members unto righteousness. You don't yield your members unto sin. So what happens is, if you and I will recognize that our body, doctrinally, as far as God sees it, is already lying in the grave, then you know what? We're not going to cater to its lusts and desires. For instance, I don't know what sins tempt you, but whatever they are, if you're tempted by, I'll just talk about, you know, some common ones. If you're tempted by the lust of your eyes, and yet you recognize that you are dead, you won't feast your eyes upon something that stimulates your lust and causes you to sin. If you are tempted by overeating, and you reckon yourself to be dead, you will eat what's necessary to nourish yourself, but you won't pig out to feed the old man, which is what's, you know, which is where the problem is. You just say you're dead. You say, your flesh says, well, I'm hungry. Well, I know you're hungry, but you're dead. I'm not going to feed you anymore. You've had enough to nourish yourself. I am not going to allow you to be a glutton. So you are dead. You see that? You keep recognizing that you're dead. And so if your problem has been theft, you know, you say to the dead man, sorry, I know you get a great deal out of pleasure, pleasure out of stealing things, but I'm going to let you do that. Or let's say that you're tempted to bear false witness or to lie. You say, no, that's your old man. That's the way we used to do things, but that's not the way that God does things. So we're not going to lie here. We're going to tell the truth. And the old man says to you, yeah, but we might get in trouble. Well, too bad. We're going to tell the truth. We're not going to do it the way you did it. You're dead. We're through with you. We don't live like that anymore. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Listen, life is so much less complicated when the old man is reckoned dead. So you rest by being dead. Okay? You rest by taking the Lord's yoke. Remove yours. Quit doing your own labor. Do the Lord's work, and, hey, he'll help you take care of yours, and you'll have rest. Rest by taking time off. Sunday is a great day to go to church, to be fed, and to rest. Rest by being dead, and quit running errands for your corpse. And then finally this, rest by not going to hell. Revelation 14:11 says that in hell there is no rest. Revelation 14:11. Look what this Bible says here. The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. See that? They have no rest. In Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, you'll find more references to rest in the New Testament than you will anywhere else. In there, Paul talks much about the rest that the Jews anticipated by going into the promised land. And that rest is ultimately fulfilled in the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you and I can liken this to the rest that we're going to enjoy when we go to heaven as the result of our salvation. But if you're not saved, then you're not going to rest in eternity, because there is no rest in hell. Period. End of story. I don't know the condition of your soul, but I'm going to tell you this. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on the cross with all of your sins in his body. He was accused of doing every sin that you have already committed and will commit in your lifetime. And God punished him for those sins. God accused him of committing those sins. God killed him for those sins. Jesus Christ was buried. His soul was in hell for 3 days and three nights. He rose from the dead to prove that the eternal life he is offering you is real. And now your sins are paid for. And my question to you is, as a friend used to ask me and ask others, why would you go to hell with your sins paid for? That doesn't make any sense. There's no rest in hell. Listen, the only way you can get to heaven is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you will trust it, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you will believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will trust what he has already done for you at Calvary and what he's already done for you in his resurrection, if you'll trust that, he will take away your sins, he will give you his righteousness, and he will make you a child of God so that you can go to heaven when you die. And now when you get there, you're going to have some rest. But dinking around here on earth trying to live by your golden rule and the law and the good deeds you do, that's not going to get you anywhere. You're a better citizen for it, but you're not going to go to heaven because of that. You can't go to heaven on your own good works. It's impossible. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's none that doeth good. No, not one, the Bible says. Your good works don't count for anything with God. They do well down here. People admire you for your good works down here. And your good works count for something if you're already saved. But you can't work your way into heaven. It's impossible. And why would you try? Jesus Christ said, I'll give it to you. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just amazing how simple it is to be saved and how hard people try to make it so that they can add their works to the formula of salvation. You're wasting your time. You want to rest? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'll go to heaven and you'll have all the rest you ever could imagine, and you'll have it for all of eternity. But you're not going to have any rest in hell. So I encourage you, listen, you want some rest? You take the Lord's yoke. Listen, if you're not saved, I'll say it this way, if you're not saved, here's what you need to do. You need to get saved. It's plain and simple. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You just simply trust the Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Get saved. Trust Jesus. And you'll have some rest. Eternal rest. All right? But if you're already saved, then here's what to do. If you're already saved, take the Lord's yoke upon you so that you can rest in your labor. I finally have learned, okay, as much as I know at this point, how to do that. And I'm telling you, my life is more productive. My sleep is better. Doing more for the Lord than I was when I was running my own list and I'm not all stressed out about those things on my list that need to be done. They get done. They get done when the Lord's ready for me to do them, and they get done right, and the Lord's there to help. So I'm just telling you, you want some rest? Take the Lord's yoke upon you so you can rest in your labor. And then take time off each week so that you can rest from your labor. And I suggest the best time and place to rest is Sunday in church. You'll be refreshed in your soul. You'll have a great time of fellowship with other believers, great time of fellowship with your family, and lay off the chores and yard work and other things, house duties that you would normally do on a Sunday afternoon, and just really enjoy some time with your wife and kids, if you're married. Really. All right? And then finally, reckon yourself dead so that you may rest in peace like a dead man does. I mean, that is, you reckon yourself, that old man, to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And I'll tell you what, that man will quit bothering you as much as he has been. You're just telling him, look, forget it. I am not going to feed you because you like to overeat. I am not going to let you look at the things you want to see because you lust. I'm not going to let you have your way because you're proud. I'm not going to let you talk because you lie. I'm not going to let you go where you want to go because you always go to wicked places. You see how it goes? And just tell that old dead man, we're not going your way anymore. You had time to run this show and you ran us into the ditch. Get out of the driver's seat. Get in the truck. I'm driving this car. And just let him be dead. I'm not going to let you handle the money because you always blow it. You're covetous. I'm not going to let you handle the money because you always steal. You see how it goes? Just tell the old man, you're through. You're crucified with Christ. Just stay on the cross. I'm going to let the Lord run the show from now on. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll have so much rest. You really will. You'll be elated with the rest that you have. I hope that this little message, this little four-part message today, will really, really help you. Don't be a restless Christian. Be a Christian who exemplifies rest and enjoys rest. Others may come to you and ask you how you do it. You tell them what you see in the Bible, and they'll get some rest too. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.